Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I grew up in a religious world, in a church system that kind of had a don't ask, don't tell policy. And what you did was you went to church because that's just what good Americans do. You got up, you dressed up, you showed up, and you smiled and you shook some hands. And no matter what was going on in your life, you just bucked up and made it for that hour, those 2 hours. You went through the deal, spoke, shook hands, praise the Lord, God bless you, whatever. And then you got out and went back to doing whatever you were doing. And if no one ever asked you, and you never told anybody what was really going on, then it's none of their business. And if you got troubles, hire yourself a counselor. You get pregnant, get yourself an abortion, move off to grandma's, have the baby. Whatever you got to do, but don't be bringing your junk up in here. Because we don't have problems, and we're all nice Christian people. A don't ask, don't tell policy does not work in a church. Now, the only way that kind of thing changes is if you're a part of a church and a part of a community and part of a body where someone actually knows you. And part of the reason we push so hard around here to get people into small groups and into smaller groups and into even down to where you're meeting with another individual, being discipled or one-on-two, is that if you ever get close enough to someone where a relationship builds, then the stuff in the darkness of your life can be exposed, and the very thing you didn't want anybody asking about and you didn't want anybody telling you about comes out, and then you finally get some help. Now, I don't like sitting down and sharing my stuff with a lot of people, so I have just one person that I talk really, really candidly, and I'll kind of put it out there a little bit more beyond that. But part of the reason I talk about my stuff as a man is I don't want to go out this way. You say, well, you shouldn't have any problems. You're a preacher. Whatever. I mean, where do you think that preachers get immunity? Everybody gets clobbered. Everybody gets hammered somewhere. And the people who don't have any problems get tempted to not help people that do. That's where their temptation comes in. Oh, I don't want any of that secondhand smoke. You know, I don't want to be tainted by the world. You're supposed to figure out a way to be in the world and not of the world. But that means you got to be with these people. There's a friend of mine, asked him the other day, know he kind of runs with an interesting crowd. And he shared with me, one of the guys he spends some time with is Donald Trump. And I said, have you shared the gospel with Donald Trump? He said, absolutely. You say, well, those people never hear the gospel. Let me tell you something. God may put you in a place, you say, little old me, little old you. If you figure out how to do this stuff on a micro level, the moment you get a shot on a macro level in a big situation, you'll be ready. I'll read you some verses about that in a minute. Go to James chapter 5. We're going to go kind of to the far right, and then we'll go back left and come through. James chapter 5, on this don't ask, don't tell in terms of church is where I want to start. We'll get into that first for a minute. James chapter 5, just for the sake of context, let me jump in here at verse 13. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. We say, a lot of people don't do that. You suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Then look at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now what we do is we say we throw Catholics all out the window because they go to confessional. I don't think I have to confess my sins to some priest or some preacher or somebody. That's not the point. What it says is confess your sins to one another. You don't have to come tell me. You ought to have enough relationship with people around you that if you got a friend, you say, dude, I'm in trouble. You got to help me. Then that guy knows you, that woman knows you well enough where you tell them. And I am not a proponent of men telling women their problems or women telling men their problems. Find some men. There has to be some place where you do this. You confess your trespasses to one another. You pray for one another that you may be healed. You're probably not going to be healed by yourself. If you were, it would have happened by now. Do you see this? You say, well, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray harder. It'll all be okay. You are not supposed to live the Christian life alone in the first place. You say, well, I don't want anybody asking me about my stuff, and I'm not going to tell anybody. And how is that working out for you? If someone brings up an issue in your life and you get defensive, you got a problem. And you know why I know all this? Because I get the same way. I don't want you in my stuff. I don't want you asking questions, especially if I got an issue. Because I like the safety of some don't ask, don't tell. But I don't like the safety of don't ask, don't tell. Because it doesn't help me be the man that God wants me to be. It'd be like me going to my doctor and say, well, I'm okay with you talking to me and examining me, but don't touch me. You know, part of what he does to me involves touching me. Somebody up in your business trying to find out, are you okay? You say, well, I'm not there yet. The problem is you will be. It just may be too late. You've got one life, and you don't know how long it's going to last. And so do the most you can with it while you've got it. And let people help you. Let people in your life get close enough to someone where maybe even down to one person can say, dude, you're not okay. You're not doing good. I care about you. I've been praying for you. And they go, yeah, this is what's going on. And it's not someone who's going to blow your head off. It's someone who's going to go, you know what? Let's do this together. I'll walk you out together. We can make it. All right, there's one category. Now, if things are working in that area and in your life, you're getting healthy personally, let me tell you the next don't ask, don't tell. And this is what I grew up with as well. There were a few crazy Shiite Christian kind of, that's, you know, wild people that would go all the time. But some people are like, look, I'm a Christian. Don't ask me if I'm a Christian and don't tell me if you are. If you are, good for you. It's a very personal thing to me. So don't ask, don't tell. I'm not going to ask you if you're a Christian, and I'm not going to tell you if I am, and you can't ask me if I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to tell you I am, and let's just be nice people and leave each other alone. The only problem with that is a lot of people end up in hell that way because you say, well, I don't want to get into that. Part of the reason that we don't share our faith is that we are not living by faith in the first place. We don't have enough relationship with our own Christian family to even share the gospel with someone outside of the family because we got stuff. If you clean up your stuff, you'd be amazed at how much easier it is to share the gospel. Why? Because you don't feel like such a hypocrite. When you got a bunch of crap in your own life, then you go, well, I don't feel comfortable saying something. Then get it cleaned up so that God can use you. And you say, yeah, but I've made mistakes, or I might make mistakes again, so I feel hypocritical sharing. Then tell them that when you share. Start out with that. Go, look, I'm the biggest loser you've ever met in your life. This is my story. This is where I came from. This is what happened. But I'm telling you guys, God changed my life. And I don't know what's going on with you, but something happened to me, and this is what happened. Now, if what you got's working for you, knock yourself out. I don't see how it could work, but, you know, good for you. But I'm just putting it on the table. This is what happened to me and the difference that Jesus has made in my life. You say, well, they're going to get upset with me. They're really going to be upset with you if they end up in hell because they're going to curse you for eternity. He did business with me. He lived next door to me. We worked out together, we hunted together, we did all these things together, but you didn't care enough about him to say the most important thing that's ever happened to you, that your life has been changed. You say, well, Richard, that's just you, your personality. It is not just me. Let's read some verses. I'll give you some boldness in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 26, and I'm going to read a section of this. Jeremiah 26, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came from the Lord saying to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. And look at this. Do not diminish a word. I'm telling you how this works. In this message, I have made reference to someone ending up in hell, right? How many times? Two or three? I hesitate every time I say it. You know why? Because the culture pushes back so hard on me, and I'm fairly bold, but I get this push. I get this thing that hits me standing right here, even talking, to go, ooh, you don't want to say that. You'll offend someone. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about people ending up in hell. Let me tell you something. It's real. And the old preachers used to talk about these things. And people actually thought about it and went, are you kidding me? I could really end up in a real hell? That's scary. There's some hot dog preacher out there now, I won't even mention his name, and he's decided there is no hell. This guy was one of the most articulate messengers of the gospel you had ever heard. Used science and all these things, and he decided that people like Gandhi and all these people were too good to end up in hell, that God couldn't be that way. It's not about how good you are, it's about how good God is in spite of our evil, and he takes us anyway because of Jesus. But you're not gonna get into heaven without Jesus. I don't care if you're Gandhi or anybody. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't care whether you like it. I'm not trying to be nice. I'm trying to do my job. And what Jeremiah was told, he says, do not diminish a word. This is what I said. Say what I said and let me worry about it. You say, well, you'll never reach anybody. The church won't grow. I don't care about all that. I will stand before Almighty God. And you know what scares me a little bit? And this has been in the last week or so. Is that I think I'm all bold and I preach about Jesus and the blood and the gospel and all that. And I'll get there and go, I did good, didn't I, Jesus? And he'll go, you know what? You let him off the hook. You weren't passionate enough. You didn't tell him the truth. You left hell out. You left sin out. You didn't go at it. You didn't warn him. I told you to warn him and you didn't warn him. So this stuff is very serious to me. I don't have to face you. I have to face you occasionally. This God saved my life and called me to do something, and I have a responsibility to not diminish a word, and that scares me. I'm talking about physical fear in a good way. So Jeremiah is told to go speak to these people, do not diminish a word, and he says, perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, and isn't that the hope, that perhaps they'll listen? You say, well, if I go to my friends and I share the gospel, they won't like me. Quit worrying about them liking you. If you love them in the first place, it's going to be real hard for them not to like you. If you're just some crazy person whacking people over the head with the Bible and your finger wagging and judging people, I don't want to hear that either. I want someone coming up to me and say, you're my neighbor. I've prayed for you. I'm scared to death to be here even talking to you because I don't want to offend you, but I can't take it anymore. I know I'm supposed to be over here talking to you. I work with you. I say we're friends. I introduce you. We do all this stuff. I can't take it anymore. I care about you. If you weep over someone's soul, they will not dislike you. I promise you. No one weeps over anybody anymore. Nobody. You sit and share this good news with someone with tears, and it'll be very hard for them to withstand that. And I get a lot of grief for all my tears. There's not enough tears in this world. Not over this stuff. He says, maybe they'll turn from their evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die. We don't want to hear this junk. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes of all the people, saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. And know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to speak to you concerning all the words in your hearing. So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. You say, well, you're saying you get killed doing this. You know what? We are such pansy Christians. There are people on the planet who open the same book we read, and they know if they go out and proclaim the gospel, they could die. And they say, okay, then kill me. But I'm not backing down because this is the truth. I will die for this Jesus, not just live for him, but die for him. And we go, well, but I might lose my job. You know, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but enough already. How are we going to explain to God himself, Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, what we were thinking? Oh, I was just tired. Too much going on. We had to, you know, we had recorded American Idol, so we had to watch it. We didn't want to waste our TiVo time. Why do I mention that one? I'm watching it too. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm throwing us under the bus. And see what is so perplexing to people who sit out there depressed, suicidal, is they cry out to God. They literally, I talk to these people, they get down by their bed sometimes at night and they on their knees cry out to God, have mercy, help me God, send him help. And you're it. And you work with this person. You say, I don't know anybody like that. You can't imagine who's around you. Think about where you work. Stop a minute, the people around you, and ask yourself, do I even know these people well enough to know what's going on with them? Do I even care to know, or am I applying my don't ask, don't tell, even at work? We jump on our highways, we pull in our neighborhoods, we open garage doors, we get in, we don't even get out of the car till the door closes behind us for risk that someone in the alley might speak. Lock ourselves down, watch our TV, eat our food, to hell with the whole neighborhood, I'm safe, I'm good. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus speaking here to his followers, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. So you got to be wise about this. But beware of men. And this is not just men, it's like men and women, but men is said here. People, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, how is that possible? I don't actually do that. It would save me a lot of time if I just quoted that verse and said, well, I'm so glad to be here today. Let's see, drop the Bible. Here's where we're gonna be today. That would be Jeremiah 50, that's where I just landed, and we'll just make something up. I think you have to be prepared. How is it that you can get in a situation and the Holy Spirit just speak? Because if you saturate a sponge in liquid, when you take it out and squeeze it, whatever is in it comes out. The reason you memorize scripture, the reason you spend time with God, the reason you pray, the reason you spend time with other believers and read books and whatever you're doing is so that when God puts you in that situation, you all of a sudden just, it comes out of you. You say, I don't know where this come from. It's hard to get something out of you that's not in you in the first place. If you find yourself quoting scripture, it's probably because you've been reading or meditating or memorizing scripture, right? It doesn't just happen. I don't know a lot of people who just miraculously start rattling off scripture they've never read or even heard. So spend time with God in a relationship with him. And you say, well, I'm not going to end up in front of any kings or anything. Maybe not, probably not, because if you're not doing it on a small scale basis, you won't end up there. The guy I made reference to a little while ago ends up with somebody like Donald Trump sharing his faith. You know why God trusts him to be in that situation? Because he doesn't wait till he gets there to do it. He's doing it all along the way. With simple people, with everybody, anybody. Two more. Romans 1:16, I'll read it to you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Then turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and we'll shut it down with this one. 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's jump in here, 1 Peter 3, verse 13. Now if you've got a Bible, look at this stuff. Read it or listen closely if you don't have one. But listen to what he says. And who is he, 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. They're going to look stupid. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay, now let me go back through this quickly. Verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? I don't get pulled over for going too slow. It is possible, but not likely with me. When you go the speed limit, you do not get pulled over as much, unless you're just all over the road, which is a whole other problem. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, okay? So you say, well, I'm suffering. I'm doing the right thing as far as I know God, and I'm suffering. He says, okay, you're blessed. Then just go with it. Well, I don't like it. Well, then just read just some more verses about liking it. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, I don't like this. That means you still got some struggles because life is going to come at you. A guy shared back here today, gallbladder removed. The same night, his mother-in-law falls and breaks her hip. They had an appointment he didn't tell you about with their child who they're trying desperately to get some help for, out of town to go to that, and they'd missed that appointment. You say, well, wow, he had a great day, didn't he? He's really blessed. He either sees it that way or he doesn't. But when you say, Lord, I don't know why all this happened on this day, but you know what? I'm alive. There is a reason. I thank you. I praise you. I will trust you anyway. And then God goes, wow, well, now that you're paying attention, watch what's really going on here, what I was really up to. You got challenge, you got issues, great, welcome to the planet. So you're blessed, he says, and do not be afraid of their threats and be troubled, but sanctify. Now this word sanctify, you are saved, and then the sanctification process takes a lifetime. God is trying to turn you into this holy person, not this person that can't deal with anybody, but cleanse you, turn you inside out, process you, turn you into being more like Christ. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. At some point, someone should be asking, what is up with you? Are you smoking meth or you're some religious nut? How can you be this way? It is not possible. Our lives should be so dramatically different that sooner or later, someone actually asks you what's going on. And you're ready to give a defense, a reason for the hope that is in you. And then look at these words. With meekness and fear, you don't punch them in the face with the gospel. Meekness, fear. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get this wrong. Not terrified, but just cautious. And they sense that and see that, that you're not just wielding the sword. You know, the Bible refers to scripture as the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That doesn't mean you have to slaughter people with it. Meekness, fear, having a good conscience. How do you have a good conscience? You deal with your sins. You say, but what if I do them again? Then deal with them again. And when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you're going to suffer, and I'm telling you, I've got tons of verses on this, you are going to suffer. Suffer for doing the right thing. You say, well, this person hates me now or doesn't like me. I would rather someone respect me any day than like me. And so if I'm a man, and I am, and I go out there and live this life, and I look at someone, and I share the gospel, and they get all defensive, I say, look, I claim to actually believe all this stuff that I'm saying to you. And if I claim that all this is true, there's a heaven, there's a hell, that God loves me and everybody so much, I'd be the biggest hypocrite on the planet if I didn't say something to you. So I would rather you respect me for having the boldness to say it than be some mealy mouth, you know, pansy that won't spit it out. And then you go, yeah, he says he believes that, but he never says anything about it.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Driving to church, one of my girls in the car, we looked up and there's a car in front of us, and it's got a sticker on it with an equal sign. You know what that equal sign means? That's someone who openly says, I am homosexual. They know don't ask, don't tell. It's on their car. There is someone driving this car who is openly gay and whatever. What do I care? That's who I am. Now, I'm not saying we all get fish on our cars because if you drive like me, you don't want anybody to know you're a Christian anyway. But you see what I'm saying? And no one bangs on their window, I'm offended by your sticker because you're terrified to offend them. We've all gotten this thing so spun around. We fear evildoers. Now, how did that happen? Oh, we want to respect their right to their. You know what? It's time you respect me. I believe some stuff too. You don't like it? Fine. But just at least give Christians a right to believe something too. And there is a gentler way to say that than I have just now.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.